Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Upgrade your kitchen today with Clearview Cabinetry. We offer a great selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft closed doors and drawers and with cabinet accessories to match your unique style. View our selection of Clearview Cabinetry on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
Hi everyone, I'm Cindy, the host of True Crime California, a weekly podcast about murders and other true crime that takes place in the great Golden State. Join me every week as I talk about a new case, some very well known and others not so well known, but always coming straight out of California. True Crime California is a proud member of the Darkcast Network.
Darkcast Network, bringing our indie podcasts out of the shadows. Up, witches and beautiful souls, welcome to your dear magical ears to another solitary witch episode brought to you by yours truly, speaking about magic and witchcraft, spiritual lifestyle, woo-woo, wonderful, and things that make me light up. And this solitary witch episode will be about the magic and powers of spoken word, both in your magic, the occult meanings, and also a little bit of neurodiversity science and just how we all talk to each other, really. I have been thinking about this episode for quite a long time, trying to understand what it is I actually wanted to talk about from a witch's point of view, but also from the point of view of somebody who has had really bad mental health most of their life until finding witchcraft and gaining an understanding about my internal and external dialogues and how that impacts me inside and outside. It can be applied and be useful for anybody, really. You don't have to be a witch. So if you're new here and you're not a witch, but you're interested in the spoken language of English and how that impacts on your daily living, you are absolutely in the right place. I hope you are well and recovering from post-Samhain / Halloween blues. It was a very busy week for me here in Bellwitch HQ as it was half term, so we did a lot of gallivanting around the museums of Leeds and Bradford, as they always spook themselves up for Halloween without fail. It's really lovely to hang out with my kids. I'm enjoying these ages. They're such lovely ages. And so I didn't really get much actual witching for myself done this year. This Samhain unfortunately passed me by in the blink of an eye because I put all my efforts into celebrating Halloween. In all honesty, I become a kid again myself. So even though I've been very busy, I have actually managed to complete this Solitary Witch episode in record time. And I thought I'd bring this episode forward because it's been such a joy to create and I just don't want to keep it to myself for another week, if I'm honest. So it's been uploaded a week early because why not, right? I have been the most busiest witch since our last episode with Shannon Palmer, who is the West Yorkshire haunted blogger, telling us stories of her growing up with ghosties and all that jazz. On the actual day of Halloween, two episodes were brought to you, and I also got on the front of the Yorkshire Evening Post. I was absolutely overjoyed. In all honesty, I didn't think I was interesting enough to make the paper. Never mind the front page. Oh my word. I actually was on the website a couple of weeks before this and a little bit
sad, really.
My story was on the website 2 weeks before Halloween. I was a bit like, oh, what a shame. So I casually forgot all about it and then got a message from one of my friends at 8 a.m. going, look at this in the post office. A little kid pointing to it like, oh. So that made my absolute day and my whole spooky season pretty spectacular. But wait, there is more. I also appeared on three other podcasts. I appeared on Mind Cake, which was an absolute blast. I really like the hosts, Lee and Paul. They have such good chemistry. They're really fun to be with. They're fantastic at asking questions and hosting and not taking themselves too seriously. But also talking about quite a serious topic. The rate of depression for middle-aged men in this country is big. So I thought it was really cool to be on a guest on a podcast with two dudes talking about witchcraft and mental health. It absolutely was brilliant. I also went on The Pursuit of the Paranormal with Greg and his friend Ash, who I met at Festival of the Unexplained back in September. It was fun talking about ghosties and a little bit of witchcraft and being asked questions from a perspective of not a witch, which is always helpful. The hosts were very intrigued as to the lifestyle that I lived. And then also, a couple of days ago, I guested on Anchor Heaven with Juliet for the second time, which is on YouTube. So you can see me stood there answering her questions. And that was nice to be invited back on for a second time. So I have definitely made progress as a host podcaster, because I'm sure you know, I cringe at myself when I hear myself on other people's podcasts. Like, I just don't like it. I find myself worrying about how I'm received, the words I speak, if I'm clear, if I sound like I know what I'm talking about, or if I upset anybody. Them things do worry me as a podcaster, a host, and a control freak. And that is why I edit, if I'm all honest. If anything at all is in the podcast that makes me go, I'm not sure, you know, I'm not sure, I take it out because I don't want to hurt anybody. To know that I might have upset a listener is hell for me. It honestly is. But I am being a brave girl and putting my big, brave witchy pants on and getting out there and facing my challenges.
My nemesis.
I hope you're proud of me. And I feel like I've got to do it because it is helpful being in the other set of shoes on the other side of the microphone. It'll benefit me as a host and hopefully it'll improve my hosting. I'll link all of them episodes in the show notes below. Right, what else? I've got a big list. I wanted to talk to you about bread and sourdough as well, but I might have to leave that for the next intro. My Patreon subscriber count is growing. Welcome to Rennie Loves Q for joining a few weeks ago as a paid subscriber, supporting me and backing me financially. It means the absolute world. I think that'll do for now. Enjoy this thoughtful episode on the words we speak to ourselves and each other. The magical powers of the spoken word. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but calling names won't hurt me. I beg to differ. Words indeed do have power. As witches who partake in group rituals, who write spells and sing out incantations. It does seem quite obvious that we know this. And I wanted to record a podcast episode all about the magic and the powers of words. When words are spoken out loud, they transform into sound, frequency and vibrations, which are some of the fundamental building blocks of matter. The physical world we live in is made of matter, therefore it is also made of sound, frequency and vibrations. On a deeper level, when we think about this, the material world was also brought into existence. And everything we know today has come into fruition. First, of course, by a thought. But then that thought was spoken out loud. As that is one of the ways power and the magic of words can manifest. In terms of communicating an idea, an ambition, when we have a thought, hopefully we speak it. And when we speak it, we share ideas and impact others with our ideas. And thus, something amazing develops, grows, comes into existence, because we willed it so. The words we speak have energy, and that energy helps us manifest out of the realm of intuition and desire and into the realm of fabric and existing. And this is what every book on manifesting will tell you when you read it, about how your words from deep within you need to be positive and need to tell the universe or the forces or whoever you think is listening, say it out loud, let it be heard, and enable the congruence to manifest. Words are used by most people all over the globe every single day. Family gatherings, funerals, celebrations, deaths, instructions, witchcraft, prayers, song, guidance, hatred, anger, promises, and love. There are currently around 8 billion people on our beautiful Gaia. It is estimated that people speak between 7,000 and 20,000 words per day. Studies suggest the average person speaks around 16,000 words a day, with females speaking slightly more than males. I wonder how many podcasters speak. That means about 60 trillion words said every day all over the world. And I just think that is absolutely phenomenal. Now, I can only speak about specifically English spoken words. I'm not qualified to talk about different languages or even sign language, which absolutely also have power. But unfortunately, as a white cis Yorkshire lass, this is the only angle in which I can cover this subject matter today. But that doesn't diminish them, and they are absolutely as important, or even more important, I think, particularly in sign language. I have this book called Word Magic: The Powers and Occult Definitions of Words by Peo Chang. And I have read this book about 3 or 4 times now, and I have such an interesting relationship with this book. And it does talk about vibrations of words and occult meanings of words, which is a right barrel of laughs, dear listener, I must say. And I find myself quite shocked and a little bit like, oh yes, that makes sense. And then in other chapters, it's like, what is this? What is this author talking about? It goes a little bit matrixy. It goes a little bit dark forces are stealing your soul. But then it also talks advice that makes me go, yeah, absolutely. As a witch, this makes complete sense. So I'll be paraphrasing this book on and off throughout this episode. And it's got a really cool little chapter on the word, the actual word, language, lang, goo, age. So I'm going to read that out to you now, just to show you an example of what I mean. Lang is the feminine Chinese and Vietnamese name for orchid. The Vietnamese word, ayan, changes this to the masculine context, meaning unicorn, coming from the Kailan. When Kailan is translated from Vietnamese to Latin, we get the word unicorns. The Kailan was a dragon-type creature that was said to only protect the noble ones. It was also known as the Kulin, I'm probably butchering these pronunciations, but I shall do my best. Gu is the god of war in Daome mythology. So now we have Lan, a monster that protects the noble ones. Gu, which is the god of war. And Age is the age or ages of the zodiac. Hence, Lan, Gu, Age are the monsters of war that protect the noble ones or the golden gods throughout the ages. And that is said to be the occult meaning behind the actual English word language meaning spoken words. Shall we do another one because it's just such a trip? Another word that is beneficial for you to know is deep in meaning of is universe. The word universe is composed of two words which are uni and verse. The prefix uni is derived from the Latin prefix uni meaning one. As for the word verse, it is, oh here we go, etymological, is it? Etymological means line or section of a prism or canticle, whatever that is, or a line of poetry. Based on these definitions, the word universe means one line of poetry. A line of poetry has words that usually have metaphorical meanings. So to connect the dots, the hidden knowledge within the word universe tells us that the universe is an abstract-like reality field made up of poetic and magical words, logos, laws and forces. In other words, we live in a magical and poetic play known as the universe. Hey! It mentions the words spelling as well for spells and talks about witches, cursing as in swearing and the connection to actual curses. It is quite a wild book. I'm definitely going to do a Patreon exclusive on the darker ones that just make me scratch my head and go, oh my gosh, because it is very entertaining. I have to do the sigil. The word sigil means an inscribed or painted symbol considered to have magical powers. In other words, when you spell or write words, you are playing with magic spells. And this is important because when you spell a word, that word is made up of symbols that are known as sigils, or as we know them, letters of the alphabet variety. And therefore you have a magic spell. I enjoy that little paragraph there. It's a good example of why this book is a bit like, what? It is kind of cool and kind of romantic, but also a bit twisted and a bit far-reaching. Good fun though, good fun. How powerful can words actually be when used with aggression or love? Can words be used like actual swords? Quite like this, because swords, as you know, is air in the tarot, and air represents clarity, thinking, speaking your truth, action. We can deflect with words when we feel we're being verbally attacked. We can attack back accidentally or on purpose. The negativity of idle gossip can act like a shield to protect or a weapon to stab. It's an instant knee-jerk reaction to some other words that have impaled us. And did you notice that the term words is an anagram for the term sword? Move the letter S in the term words to the left of the W and you get the term sword. What an interesting coincidence. Words are like swords because they can be used to harm and to cut you in negative circumstances. So in a way, words are more powerful than swords because they can harm you or heal you at the deepest levels of your being. This reminds me of a sad memory. I was with my mum in Blackpool, and they have the horse and carts that go past up and down the main street with all the illuminations on. And this guy went past us, me and my mum were just walking, and the guy looked at my mum and just went, "Oh, too many pies." And it really, really upset her. Like, I'd never seen her so upset by this horrible, random sentence of aggression in words. So unnecessary, so uncalled for, so undeserving. Them words were a sword that day that impaled my mum's spirit. She cried the whole holiday and we ended up going home early because it had that much power on her. And I think I was really young. You know, we all suffer the bullying and stuff. So I were aware that words can hurt and do hurt, and I let them hurt me quite a lot. But I think something kind of shifted in my soul that day when I saw just how much power it had on her. And what's even worse is this random, unkind, uneducated male who went past, said something, thought it was funny. He has no idea, probably, of the impact he caused. His intent was to have a laugh. His impact probably finished her that weekend. And that makes me so sad and quite unhappy that people live a life where they don't even think about the words and how impactful on others their words are. Perhaps not to the self. Maybe they think they're fantastic and they just go around saying what they want. So that's another side of it, being witches, being aware of our impact on the earth and on others. I think we've got a responsibility to share this knowledge and to try and encourage people to think about the ways in which we communicate in this electronic internet keyboard warrior landscape of the 21st century. I realise, even though I am dyslexic and I do struggle with spelling and the written word, I really value the spoken word and dabbling in poetry, creating spells for clients in my witchcraft, and creating this podcast. It has had a healing effect, and a lot of that is to do with my internal dialogue and my external dialogue. I find it really interesting now. I talk a lot more than I ever have, but I believe the words I say have more weight and more value and are helpful, full of gratitude. It's that mindset that has changed my life. I mean, there is an age thing as well, and I say this often. I think you get middle age and you start realising a lot about yourself, but mostly how we speak to ourselves internally and externally. Finding witchcraft has massively impacted this, because words in witchcraft get a new shiny value because you write your spells and you really think about what it is we want to achieve as witches. We really think about what we say to ourselves, what we say to others, what we inscribe in a candle, what sigil wording is the best to get an accurate description of our desires and what we wish for the outcome. A while ago, I attempted to do a video on this, a basic video, kind of like a Monty Python sketch where there's a brain sat at a desk and I'm talking to the brain saying, you need to speak to yourself with kindness and believe what you're saying, believe the positive words, and that's how you manifest. And this amusing attempt at producing a video on this very important subject matter is actually still on my Instagram account, the Bellwitch Podcast with underscores, buried down there. But if you scroll on by, you can have a little look-see. And there is evidence to back this. This isn't woo-woo. There is evidence that says that visualization and speaking certain words activates the same neural pathways as memories and songs. Because your brain can't tell the difference between imagining and experiencing, and that is an historic thing from when we were all cave people, and anxiety and stress is to keep us alive from the tiger, which may or may not be in the bush. So it's like you're training your brain, aren't you, to ensure that you actually stay alive at that time in history, which isn't really applicable in the 21st century, to worry and by default speak negatively about a problem is to worship the problem, because the problem may not be an issue, or at least the problem may not have as much power as you think it does. You thinking about it and you worrying about it convinces the neuropaths in your brain that this thing you're worrying about is a risk and it is something that might hurt us. It could be a danger that's going to end our lives, our existence. Therefore, choosing positive words make more pathways in your brain. And then pathways influence your actions, and your actions influence your words, and your words influence other people, and then they start speaking a certain way. And before you know it, we're all manifesting in true deep brain style. Love it. And me getting all scientific now, this is called neuroplasticity and is basic neuroscience. So there you go. It is not just a load of old woo-woo. It's not magic, it's biology, as well as magic in there. They go hand in hand in my Swales land. Yes, your thoughts and the words you speak literally shape your reality through the brain chemistry, because you're telling yourself something is possible and your brain starts to look for the ways to make it happen. And that is a reasonable and acceptable way manifesting on a very basic human reality without all the vibrations and the universe listening to you and all that jazz. And then you become aware of other people's words. A good example of this is on the news, how negative the news is, being anti-war. Maybe they should be saying pro-peace. And I do think if everybody started to speak, not in the negative, but in the positive, not necessarily about themselves, but just the general circumstances of daily living, I think that would shift the entire human race, which seems like a really big thing to say, but I reckon it'd work, you know, I do. My words really do shape my reality. And the longer I do this gig, the more I become severely aware of it. And sometimes I can't think of the right words to say, and I need to take a bit of time to think about it, but they do come eventually, dear witch. And I know you've heard me speak often about how editing yourself on a podcast makes you value your own voice and enable healing from within as well as outside of yourself. So the two things inside and outside start to align. And that was a surprising side effect of the podcasting that I am doing currently. And I just could talk about it for ages. And going on podcasts as a guest, talking about this, about mental health and the words we speak, the hosts were saying it makes complete sense because it works one way. When you speak to yourself negatively, you go a downward spiral of beating yourself up and ultimately becoming so sad that you don't want to be here anymore. Our words are impacting that, so it makes sense. It will swing the other way, but for some strange reason, that seems less believable than the negative. There's a bit of a culture at the moment at proudly announcing that you're triggered. And all the things I read recommend that you decide how to react to something. So a trigger can, in most cases, be avoided. Let's look at the opposite of a trigger, which apparently is called a glimmer. Could you have the balance of the trigger in a negative situation? Can you also find the glimmer in the positive situation, which maybe could help you out by diffusing the situations or even just get you out of the habit of recognizing triggers, choosing to shake them off and not giving them that power which you've bestowed on them accidentally, of course, not on purpose, because we're all human beings trying to live this life. And you'll see more of them around your daily life as you go around, and then you speak your truth in the active recognition of seeing glimmers throughout your life. Is it interesting how we are told to dislike our voice and cringe at how we sound because we're not used to it and we don't like how we come over on home video, how our voice recorded makes us toes curl? So many people who are new to the podcasting interview style go, oh no, I'm not looking forward to how I'm going to hear myself. Oh, I couldn't do that job. I couldn't listen to myself. I hate our sound. Like, there's so many people say this to me. And it makes me sad. It really does. Why is that a thing? Why are we brought up to dislike ourselves? Because the healing and the power comes from your voice. And dare I say it,
capitalism.
Is it capitalism that is once again trying to disconnect us from our inner power and our ability to heal from within, because we've got everything we need and we don't need to buy the things they ask us to buy? Capitalism doesn't want our true voice heard, because when we start speaking our truth and using our words wisely, we realise that everything we need to exist a fulfilled and abundant life is within us. And it does sound a bit woo-woo, but why does it sound a bit woo-woo? Well, because capitalism has done a number on us and made us believe things that just aren't true, and makes us dependent as consumers, giving away our valuable time and not really listening or learning or speaking our truth, but doom-scrolling, empty-headed consuming, because that is where the money is at in the 21st century. It is about us giving them our most valuable asset, which right now is our attention and our lack of self-belief that we have everything we need right here within us. However, in the spirit of balance, I have added this little section in after I uploaded this episode to my Patreons, who get early access as a subscriber. Buddy Mary made a good point, and she left me helpful feedback in a comment that says, I read that we don't tend to like our own voices initially, as it is an unnatural thing to hear your voice back. Other than like echoes and stuff, it's not generally in nature to record and hear back. So it is a bit weird to our brains. It is true. Not for me. But then I guess I'm used to this. So for balance, I included that. And I did know that as well. I'd just forgotten to mention it in the initial podcast. But I'm sure that's not the only reason we hate our voices. I'm pretty sure of that. Right, that's enough of that, Swales. You can tell she gets on soapbox about this. So what do we do then? How do we use our voice? This is, again, like a lot of things in witchcraft, a delicate balance, right? Because I'm not asking you to go out there and just word vomit all over the place. And I'll tell you a little story, which on reflection is a tribute to what I believe in today. The year was 2011, which was a long time ago now. I was at university studying jewellery design, and I got the opportunity to go do some volunteering with a charity called Visa, which took you to Ecuador to partake in a spot of charity work, such as building outside toilets, painting schools, go hang out in jungle and meet the locals and have a jolly good time. Anyway, you had to raise the money yourself, which was quite a lot of money. It was like £3,000. Not that that's important, but I decided to raise a bit of money to help me pay by doing a week's silence at university, which is a very challenging thing to decide. And I learned a lot about myself that week. And I think about it even now. It was such a strange moment in my life where I literally stopped talking on the Monday, I think it was. Oh no, on the Friday. I think I stopped talking on the Friday. I put some duct tape over my mouth. It's a bit like a publicity thing. And I walked around with duct tape on all the time around my classes with a written explanation as to what I was doing. And I got so much work done that week. And I used to go to the one-to-one tutorials where the tutor would be like, how are we going to do this? So I ended up writing, and then she'd speak to me verbally. Anyway, by day 2 or 3, something really strange happened to me where I didn't feel like I was going to talk again. Like, my brain kind of reset, and I realised all the junk that I talk that's just so low in value and ego-driven and unnecessary. I remember being on the train with the duct tape on my mouth and hearing people speak around me and being really present in the moment before the doom scrolling took hold. Sitting there in the moment and being like, gosh, people just talk absolute garbage. All these people are just slagging each other off, do you know? And I really reflected on the way I speak and what I say and who to give my words to and what my words actually mean and all this stuff that I'm no longer saying. I don't actually ever need to say, and it is just a farce. I just remember it being a very big moment in my relatively young, naive life. Like, am I just annoying? I wasn't a witch then. This was way before witchcraft. This was when I was young, trying to find my way in life, trying to find a career. And I remember when the time came, one of my student friends wanted to rip the duct tape off my mouth and be like, you can speak now, you can speak. There were a crowd around me waiting for me to speak. And I remember sitting there thinking, I don't really want to speak, actually. I don't think I need to speak. And I think it lasted a long time. I mean, it wore off eventually, of course it did, because of all partying. But I reckon a good month I were reflecting on my adventures as a silent person. So that really did make me reassess again my language and the stuff I spoke about, and is it necessary? How many people I actively avoided upsetting that day, but then also how many people I actively avoided making laugh as well.
Oh, they missed out on my astonishingly fast wit.
Disclaimer, I am not suggesting that you go ahead and duct tape your gob closed and spend a week in silence. Although people do visit silent retreats, and I have a suspicion it is very similar to my week of silence in the fact that you just retreat into your head and really dissect the words, the way we speak, our mannerisms, our existence with other people, our culture, our communities, and all that jazz. It does have a lot to say, I think, for the power of words and how we choose to speak. I can see why people sign up to these things and partake in a wordless week or more of their life. Within the pages of the book named The Power, which is the sister book of that famous The Secret, it states the people who talk more abundant in their lives and are grateful for the things they have and speak daily love to everybody they meet. It is said that this enables them to have the highest frequency and are magnets for the things that they desire. I remember speaking to Susan Gregg, the life coach, who came on to Cult Mother and was saying the way to change your life is to basically send love out all the time. Speak love to people just because you want to send it out, not because you want anything in return. Actively choose to speak the correct words because words have power. And back then I was a bit like, how is that even possible? Can you really do that to absolutely everybody and everything? I believe you can. It is hard, and I'm getting better and better as the days go by. Just the other day, I mentioned in my stories, some car splashed me on a jog and it shocked me because I wasn't ready for it, because I was in the zone. And I chose my words to be kind. I chose not to fly off the handle and walk past the car that was sat at the red light and look at him and shake my finger. Like, I made that decision to not send that negativity out. Another thing I've started to do, probably in the last 6 months, is physically talk to my body and ask it to heal itself and inquire what it needs. Is that so out there, really? I don't think so. I do have a conversation with my cells in my body. I say to my cells, I've got a cold. I need help getting rid of this cold. I'll drink this beautiful healing aqua. And I imagine the white blood cells attacking the bacteria that's causing me a cold. It was a severe cold and I got better quite quick in like 2 days, which I've never had before. I think that is because I check in with my body and I talk to it. I were reading a book, I can't remember which one it was, and it was saying how your body is a universe, you know, like you are like your own universe and your own God and stuff, and you could ask your body to heal itself by having a direct dialogue with it, which I just love. Like, I really love that idea. And so now I do say to my fingernails, please grow. And I do say to my white blood cells, please attack this germ. And I do say to my psoriasis, please clear up off my face, which is slow, but it is going eventually. I think the cold impressed me quite a lot because it were like, oh, I'm ill. Oh, no, I'm all right now. I was reading a blog that said by From the shadows of the coven to the lips of the living, VE Cosmetics conjures up a beauty so good, it must be witchcraft. Vegan and cruelty-free for those who walk between the worlds. VE Cosmetics. Grab a discount with my affiliate code Bellwitch at the checkout. BELLWITCH, all one word, for a 10% discount on your entire order. And a little tip for this witch. Consciously choosing high vibrational words, you align with the frequency of the universe, attracting abundance and joy with every word. And according to Dr. Hawkins, each word miraculously calibrates on a vibrational scale and can elevate the consciousness and manifest abundance in all aspects of life. I got really excited by this quote on this blog and I was like, did Dr. Hawkins say this? Oh my, I need to find evidence. So I went on a mad prowl looking for this evidence, and unfortunately it isn't true. And from my research, apparently scientists get quite cross with us new agers suggesting this is a thing. High vibration and low vibration, as the new age community speaks about it, doesn't actually make any sense to the scientists of the world, who kind of roll their eyes and go, oh, not all this chestnut. Because it's not that simple. Good versus bad is a spectrum, like from lower chakra to higher chakras. And it doesn't make sense in the fact that high vibrations, as we like to say, are not necessarily good. X-ray, for example, is a high vibration. An atomic bomb is a high and very scary vibration. These examples of high vibrations, as scientists know them, are extremely bad for all human bodies and all human conditions and even mental health because, I mean, you know. A low vibration can be as simple as a safe AM radio waves, which we listen to in the car. So their argument is this high vibration of your words is absolute nonsense and we should stop going on about it and making the connection.
Boo hiss!
I found quite a few Reddit blogs and stuff where you could see, you know, clashing and the scientists going, are you still talking about this? I wish you'd be here. And, you know, people getting angry and using negative words. But I think, when I speak about high vibrational words, I am talking of a different version, kind of like a metaphor for the conditional emotion of humans. High vibrational living isn't necessarily literally sending out the high vibrational words of science, but a feeling of positivity and enlightenment, high abundance, self-worth and self-value. I think that is how I am going to decide this works, because it is a bit of a, oh my God, when you look into it, I was falling down rabbit holes here, there and everywhere. So I hope this makes sense. And before I leave you, I want to address, some of you may be thinking, is this a bit toxic positivity, all this nonsense about your words? It may seem like that, but I'm not asking you to deny your feelings. I'm not asking you to whitewash, pinkwash, glitter up all the negative feelings. Definitely do not bottle them up and let them fester within you. To heal, they do absolutely need to come out. I hope this episode is just a little bit enlightening on what possibly could help you heal and upscale your life via the magic of words. The way you speak to yourself and the words that you choose will help or hinder your recovery in mental health. We're all just so easy breezy with being harsh on our own selves. High expectations, beating ourselves up when we don't achieve that thing. Failure, people hate failing. They'll dwell on it. Absolutely, feel your feelings, but don't dwell. Write stuff down. Journaling is amazing. Screaming is amazing. Talking to yourself. The depths of shadow work in witchcraft go hand in hand with the power of words and the words which we choose to talk to ourselves within those dark nights of the soul. And curb that road rage if you can, because out of all the things I learn and all the awareness I have of my language and my words, road rage is the thing that I find challenging. It is the circumstance that gets past me. I don't know what it is about being in a metal can behind a wheel on the road with lots of other people in the same situation. There's just something about that moment which I just cannot control, and I send negative stuff out. I'm not as bad as I used to be, but it is definitely something to work on. So I'm inviting you to work on it too. Work on it with me. Strength in numbers. And having a few slips doesn't set you back. All the practice you do, any practice you do, obviously the more you do it, the easier it gets, but any absolutely at all counts. It's training your brain, do you remember? Neuroplasticity. To act a certain way. It's all training. Nothing is ever wasted. If you do very well for a week and have a burst of road rage, don't fall into the trap of thinking, oh, well, I've undone it all now. I'm giving up. Don't give up. Keep plodding on with this. It will change your life. I cannot tell you how much talking to myself positively every single moment, it really does astonish me. It's absolutely wild. And probably to those who don't know me, maybe I do sound a little bit unhinged, but do I care? No, because those who mind don't matter, and those who matter definitely do not mind. It has made me better, and my mental health is the best it's ever been because of a combination of editing myself on a podcast, doing witchcraft, being around the right people with the right vibrations in quotation marks, reframing my thoughts, reframing my knee-jerk reactions to gossip, to me feeling sad about my life, to negative things happening. Negative things do happen. You can't avoid that. Don't ignore them. I'm not asking you to ignore them. I'm asking you, dear listener, to reframe it and just reflect before you react. I think that's the basic message here. I'm not suggesting you ignore your feelings, you make everything rosy, it's all beautiful. Absolutely not. Just choose your words wisely. Have a think about the words in which you use daily life and really unpack your reactions. Why are you triggered? Why are you feeling this way? There is something that probably requires you to work on. And when you get harsh on yourself, why are you being that way? Cut yourself some slack, witch. Look at all these amazing achievements around you right now, whether it be where you're sitting, in your house, in the warmth, the children you've brought up, the animals you've brought up, the businesses you've survived, the products you've made, the time you've spent in the garden, the beautiful projects you've created, your friends and your family who love you so much, who need you. To some people in your life, you are absolutely the whole world, universe, the lot. So choose them words of positivity with love and kindness for yourself and kindness for others, to reflect who you are, and don't sit in the darkness, come through into the light. You have been listening to a Solitary Witch episode of the Bell Witch podcast, made with love and magic by me, Swales, the Friendly Green Witch. I hope you've enjoyed this episode, and if you'd like to show the podcast a little bit of love, you can do this in the following ways. Leave ratings and reviews wherever you listen to your shows, Spotify and Apple podcasts. These stars really do help the podcast to shine. If you would like it to shine a little brighter, please spread far and wide via word of mouth with your family, friends and fellow witches. You can also financially back the Bell Witch podcast over on Patreon, where you'll receive behind the scenes videos, bonus material, subscriber only mini podcasts such as Cauldron of Woo, and little bits of magic from yours truly. You can also tip your witch at buymeacoffee.com, searching for my name, Emma Swales, and on PayPal via emma.swales@ntlworld.com. Would you like to connect? You can reach me on the Bell Witch Podcast at yahoo.com. Send me a trailer, tell me about your witch biz, or suggest a topic I may be able to cover for your magical ears. Music is by Jeff Harvey of Pixabay. The official Bell Witch photographer is the lovely Beverly Thornton. Thank you so much for choosing the Bell Witch podcast to fill your ears. And until next time, dear witch, stay magical. It's not natural.